It's the Mike Wills Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. Today is Friday, TGIF, May 22nd, 2020. The Friday before Memorial Day, right? Did I say it right? Yeah, I think I did. Friday before Memorial Day. Well, as you heard last night, I got my HF radio. I am happy, happy, happy. So, no, I can't use it yet. No, I haven't gone on the air on HF yet. And why might that be? Because I don't have an antenna up yet. And even if I did put up an antenna, I don't have the coax required to hook it up. But that's beside the point right now. Well, that's on me. Let's put it that way. That part's completely on me. The radio is here. All I have to do is hook it up and go. So, that makes me very happy. And I described some of the features last night that you may not have got that episode yet. I'll try and get that published when I get back. Because I recorded it late. I was like, screw it. I'm not going to wait for this upload. I'll deal with it tomorrow. So, I'll back post that one and then I'll get this one posted shortly thereafter. So, you get two in a row. But, hey, you like me, right? I did this morning they call it cat control. I don't know why they call it cat control. There's probably some, I'm not sure what cat stands for. That probably will explain it. Basically, it allows you to remotely, not really remotely, allows you to operate the radio from a computer. You could say remotely, but it usually when they say remote, you're not physically next to the radio, and you are actually using it from, well, not, you know, you could be at, you could be at, come on, brain, you could be outside, you could be in your living room when you're not in your shack. That's remote operation. You're not directly manipulating or can't directly manipulate the controls. A computer hooked up to it is directly manipulating the controls, pretty much. So, I got something working there. I got the, it's called RT Systems. It really allows you to program your radio. program memories into your radio. So, I'm not doing that right now. I might dink around with it this weekend, but I'll program in some of the most common local ones here just so I have something in there as far as repeaters go anyway. Some of the most common local ones just in case, you know. And then I will need to figure out which HF ones I might find interesting and program those in once I get that rolling. If I do much of that, you know, there's no saying you can't just punch it in too. So it's going. I did hook it up to the mixer, but I haven't hooked up everything to the mixer. So what am I looking at there? So it comes with a little hand mic, you know, like the old-fashioned CB hand mics. I'm sure you're familiar with those. it works, you know, it definitely works. I'm not saying it doesn't. You know, if I'm going outside or if I am, you know, working on like a field day like I referenced yesterday, something like that, I'd probably just use a hand mic. unless I have a headset thing, but that's a different story. The other option that you can do is, and this is where we're going with the headset side thing, you can get other controls that you can hook up to your radio. So you hook it up through the microphone jack, because the microphone does more than just listen. It has the push to talk, sometimes it has other buttons. So the push to talk is just a switch, basically. You know, allows power to flow through and, you know, signals to the system to listen to the microphone. And microphones, obviously, we use them every day. We know what a microphone is. Similar thing, though. It's like a couple wires, blah, blah, blah. So what it does is it replaces all that circuitry, let me phrase that, wires, with a different hookup. So Heil, you know, that like the famous PR40 that a lot of podcasters use, they also have an amateur radio division. Guess why they have an amateur radio division? Bob Heil, owner of Heil Radio, or whatever it's called, I think it's just Heil, is an amateur radio operator. Gee, I wonder why he has an amateur radio division. Anyway, I shouldn't say he's the only one making them. They have made cables that will allow you to plug into your radio, but use like a microphone or, you know, headphones with the mic on it, or various other, you know, type of setups. So, when I first heard about that and that they first made that, I was like, oh, that could be cool. And the more I kind of hear about people doing this, the more I get thinking, you know, I got this good microphone, I have this mixer set up, and we'll get to that in a minute, and then all you need is a push and talk button, which Heil makes as well. They make kind of two different standard things. One is like a little trigger switch that you can pull. The other is a foot pedal. I go back and forth on it, but I think to free up my hands for typing, I would like a foot pedal. At least for when I'm operating at home. So I haven't ordered that part yet, that side yet, but so they call it the lean back operating position. You just lean back in your chair, the microphone's in front of you, your switch is right there, and you can just start racking up contacts. And that's appealing. Plus, with what I'm doing right now, podcasting, and, you know, as I look to a YouTube channel, I think there's some value there. In order to get a little bit better audio and, you know, just all around much better sound too, at least from the microphone side. So I will, it's really not that bad for pricing too. I don't remember what it was, only $30 for the cables. Obviously I have the microphone and the, speaker, or no, microphone and the mixer. You know, obviously I have those two things, so that's not really an issue at that point. It's really the just getting the cable required to make it all happen. Now I could do the amateur way and make all this stuff myself. I'm not that comfortable doing it, and for the price of getting them, it's not really worth it, at least for me. So I figured, you know, just get it, include it with the cost of the radio. So that's the last kind of piece of the puzzle there. And the coax, well, everything's shipping slower. Can't imagine why. So the coax will be here sometime mid next week. I think it was 28th, 29th, I think is what it said. Yeah, and then I got everything I need to properly lightning ground it. Because right now, and I'm not sure if I fully realized it when I first did it. I probably did and just did, or just prayed I didn't have to deal with it. I've got a direct path for lightning into my office right now. That's not really a good thing. So I am going to get that taken care of properly, keeping lightning outside of my office, and go like that. I will start out with just one grounding rod and just hook everything up. I will eventually get things hooked up so it is, quote, proper. Which means binding all of the ground rods together. And, just simply by doing that, that should give enough grounding for the lightning to go where it's supposed to, into the ground and not into my house. That also still means that I need to disconnect my radios when they're lightning. But that's also why I'm hooking up a... I'm going the wrong way. Oh, right there. Okay. I'm getting COVID-19 testing done so I can get my surgery on Tuesday. So that is what I'm in the process of doing. COVID-19 testing. Triage by nurse line. Please move forward. Stay in the vehicle. Okay. I'm going to pause it here and I will tell you about this afterwards. Well, that's done now. COVID test number 2 done prior to surgery. No symptoms again. Yes, it makes you sneeze. At least it does for me. So, I don't remember if I described this last time or not. At least the test that Mayo Clinic uses, it feels like a Q-tip going up your nose. I would call it tickling. Probably the best thing I can do. And the people who say it's painful, you kind of wonder if the nurses or whoever's taking the test is good at it. You know? Yes, you're jamming a stick up your nose. If you go back too far, you're obviously poking insides and it probably hurts. But in general, it's really just, like I say, a Q-tip up there. Really thin plastic, I'll call it a tube. I don't know what it is. And then it kind of tickles for a while after that. I would relate to be tickling more than anything. But yeah, they're in full gear. The person doing the test is in full gear. But that was the first drive-through one that I did. You drive up, they get your information, they ask if you had an order for it. I gave them that information, how I got the order for it. And they bring out the stuff outside, and then they do the test. So, it's a little bit of time waiting in line and everything, but it's not really that bad. At least, that's been my experience. The last one I actually had to go inside an office. This is the drive-thru, thankfully. A little more convenient. So, nope, I can't go quite yet. Yesterday when we went to go get the radio, I asked my daughter if she wanted to get some drive time in, because she's all about getting her drive time. I didn't realize at the time that we had to go a different way because the road's under construction. We got the instructions, we followed them, we got to where we need to go. We came home, didn't follow them. I probably missed a turn somewhere. I don't know. GPS got us home. That's all that matters, right? She got driving experience and along the way, a little bit night-ish driving. It wasn't pitch black, but it was getting dark. So she got a little bit of that drive time in. She got some other time in. I did feel a little bad that she sat in the car for an hour. I didn't even realize it was an hour. But the ham I bought it from, he wanted to make sure I was comfortable with it. And like, yep, I will sit down and I'll start, you know, I'm basically going to start playing with it and just figure out how it all works. And I did a little bit last night, stayed up a little bit too late. Though I guess the only reason I stayed up too late is because I was recording for you guys, so I'll blame you. It's your fault I was up until 12:45 last night. I don't know whose fault it is, it doesn't really matter. So, I didn't do anything with hooking up the computer or anything last night. I just kind of hooked it up. I did make a contact on it, so on our local repeater. So I knew it worked prior to that because he did the same thing when we were at his house. I wasn't really worried, but I did make a contact. This also does the whole fusion thing that I have mentioned in the past. I have not tried making contact on that yet. I kind of want to set myself up for when someone's on in the local area, just so I can make sure it's all working correctly and not going out to the ether somewhere. So that is a thing that I am playing with now, a new toy. I might even do Sunday Night Net with it, just give it a little workout. Am I running it? No, next week. I won't be using it next week for net control. I will be for this one, though. I don't want to have to 100% rely on me not hitting a button by accident or something. And that's what the other radio is ultimately for, is VHF, UHF there, and then everything else there. But now I got a dilemma. And I'm thinking duplex. And I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure what I'm thinking here yet for that. I got two radios that I want to use one antenna for. They make switches. They work. But is that the right approach? Actually, no. I'll have two antennas. That's right. Duh. I was going to do that all along. Thinking things through as you're talking. Ignore that whole last minute. They do make switches. Some people say you shouldn't do it. Other people have done it and it seems to work. I'm not quite sure where that line is of what. But it can be done. You can have a switch, kind of switch between two different radios, sharing an antenna. Or I guess, you know, in some cases you could have two radios sharing a series of antennas if you do two switches. I'm not quite that fancy. I don't need to be that fancy. The way I see it, and I will have to see how the position of the antenna works. As long as I can reach Waseca, which is 30 miles away, probably, with the one in my attic, I'm happy. So, it's all up, all plugged in, all running. The only thing I haven't tried yet, I'll probably do that this weekend, is hook it up to a battery, or the battery I have, to make sure that works, because that's important too. And then, I should be good to go, I think. Sweet! I'll talk more about how I ground my system. I'll probably record an audio or YouTube for that as well, because that's the one thing that always is confusing, and a lot of people typically ask questions for it, is how do you ground your system? So that is my adventure, or my next adventure, is to get things grounded. Once it's grounded, then should be good to go for the lifespan of that radio. I gotta see how he did that. Oh, I think I know how he did that. There was one other thing that this ham had that it's kind of neat, but he's got the space for it. He had up on his wall, and he's in a basement, he had a place where he connects his antennas to, so he can easily go up there, twist them off, and not twist them off behind the radio. I don't have that luxury right now. Because I'm looking at bringing my coax underneath my desk. I don't know about you, I don't feel it crawling underneath my desk every time I want to disconnect everything. Let me phrase that, every night after I'm done disconnecting everything. So, so that's my radio update. Oh, the fun of that. So from here on out, I should be not spending a significant amount of money on things. Should be, and cross my fingers. There's only one other semi-major piece of equipment I need for the general operation of the radio. And that's what they call an SWR meter. It's one that you hook up in line with the radio and the antenna. So as you're transmitting, you can kind of see where you're sitting at. Because you get it right, you get everything looking good, it still goes haywire sometimes due to stretching, or maybe you lost part of your antenna, didn't realize it. Water in the coax. There's multiple reasons why you might have issues. So we just take it one day at a time. So I am done with this. I'm almost home. COVID test is done. I got to make a phone call today at noon, or probably shortly before that. I will be off work until Tuesday. Be nice to get a break. Be nice to kind of not worry about work or sit in my office for hours on end. I like it, but it's a little lonely. Probably also why I'm recording 25-minute podcasts now, because I need to talk to people about this stuff. And you may skip it. I may be talking to nobody right now. But in my head, I have a captive audience, because my little phone here or my little MacBook Pro is sitting there listening to me talk about whatever the hell I want for as long as I want. So, sorry for being my talking, I guess, my geek talking. Yeah, I'm done for now, I think. What the heck is that? It's the first I've seen that on this house. Oh, little antenna. Wow, that's a tiny antenna. What the heck? I wonder what that's for. Never mind. Anyway, I'm gonna head out. Have a good day. Stay safe. Have a good holiday weekend. If I don't talk to you before then, I will probably Monday night be the soonest I will talk. So, have a good weekend. This is WX0MIK. I am clear. 73DO.
The intro music was Funkily Dugatitude by the late Derek K. Miller. The outro is Always Evermore by Eric Dietrich. You can contact me on most social networks with the username Mike Wills, one word. You can email me at mike@mikewills.me. You can find any show notes and my blog at mikewills.me. Thank you for listening, and come back again.